I know you're a stereoholic. You have to carry on with this.
It's not a big part of my life. I'd say, if anything, it's a bit up and down with me.
Stand-up comedian who is struggling with his stand-up comedy. Maybe something you can relate to, Damo.
I didn't think I could love anything more than Gary Oldman singing along to The Proclaimers. But Gary Oldman eating ramen is even more enjoyable.
And or what?
I don't know if it's funny anymore.
That doesn't bother me.
I haven't watched any Maths Australia all week, guys. Am I okay? Am I feeling all right? Don't know.
This podcast was recorded remotely
and may contain adult language and themes.
Hello and welcome to TV DNA, the watch list. This week we're going to be talking about Scoop and Fallout and lots of other shows. My name is Adam Hemming and I've been joined by Damien Cooper.
I think that all went rather well, didn't it?
Also with me is Neil Shepek.
Is that your thumb or mine? Either way, I don't sweat.
And finally with us is Grace Chapman.
The thing is, it's not just bad for your brand. It is your brand.
What is my brand exactly?
It's changing.
Okay, let's get into Scoop then. So this is the Netflix film or a long single episode TV series, which stars Billy Piper, Gillian Anderson, Rufus Sewell, Keely Hawes, and is about the Prince Andrew interview with Newsnight. What do we think?
Yeah, I'll go first. I had a great time watching this. I had a really good time. I did catch some reviews before it came out and I felt like everyone was being a bit snooty about it. So, and I was really excited about it. Like I've really been looking forward to this coming out. So I was like, oh, I hope it's not actually not great. But I had a really good time. I really enjoyed seeing behind the scenes of how one would go about landing an interview like that. And I thought the performances were great. I thought Billy Piper was brilliant. I realised quite early on this was highly dramatised. And maybe we need to take quite a lot with a pinch of salt. But I just sort of lent into that and just enjoyed it. So yeah, I had a really good time. Also, my dad was one of the first researchers ever on Newsnight. And I watched it with him. So that was really lovely because he was having a fantastic time watching it. I mean, I think if the BBC had made it, I would have slightly been like, it's a bit BBC, fuck yeah. But because Netflix made it, I felt a little bit better about that.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm in awe that you've got that relationship via your dad of knowing how Newsnight works behind the scenes, because that was one of the biggest things. Not the biggest thing, but one of the biggest things I took from watching this was just to see, as you say, how these things happen, particularly when framed with the BBC getting rid of so many jobs. And obviously, Billy Piper's character is a bit of a maverick within the team, but strong enough and has the contacts to be able to secure this and to vision what this could result in. I also loved it, and I've got a variety of friends and family who are like, oh, I don't know if I want to watch this. I saw the original interview and I said, it's so much more than that. It really is. I mean, you think Frost Nixon as far as an interview where someone just gives themselves away, and it was so well put together. And there was one shot in particular, and this is the other element, which I think is probably the biggest element, is it was really focused on females telling this story. And there's one shot where Prince Andrew makes a bluff or flaw, or he's got rid of it. And there was a shot of all three of the women, Keely Hawes, Maitlis, Billy Piper's character, all three of them in shot, just going, he's done it. He's done what we thought he'd do. Internally cheering. You could just see it in their facial expressions. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I thought Rufus Sewell did an amazing job of, well, I guess showing the caricature that the film wanted, but also making it believable.
Damien?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's great. I think Gillian Anderson's impression of Emily Maitlis is near perfect. The only thing she doesn't quite get is the richness of Emily Maitlis's voice. But physically, gesture, all that stuff, rhythm and tone, all that stuff is exactly spot on. it's almost uncanny. I know we've talked previously about Joseph Fiennes' Gareth Southgate being just a bit of a mind fuck because it's so spot on. I think she's about 99% there. I just found that mesmeric. I think the other thing is, yeah, interesting what you're saying, Neil, about the interview. I think the thing that it highlighted for me as well is just how removed from reality the royal family and the estate are, because we get that moment. It ends. Kitty Hall's character is Amanda Thirsk, Prince
and his PA.
Yeah. They're all like, that went really well, didn't it? That was amazing. Whereas everyone from Newsnight is like, we've got this. This is huge. So I think that was the other thing. And they had no idea, even when Andrew was showing around afterwards. And they were like, just get this out of here now. Get this off the palace and into the BBC headquarters and keep everything crossed. I think that was the thing that stood out most for me.
From what you just said, do you think Keely Hawes' character as Prince Andrew's PA didn't want him to fuck up?
Yeah, I think that she thinks it's gone well.
I agree with Demo. I don't think she wanted... I think she cared about him. It was clear that she cared about him. She slightly wanted to protect him. And I think that she thought it went well. Like, the look she gives Billy Piper at the end of the interview was like, oh, well, I'm really glad we did this. Thank you so much. You know?
I'm not 100% convinced on that. I think the way that it's portrayed and the way that Keely Hawes' character develops over the film and the way she presents the woman, who obviously is a real woman, but whether it's true or not, I got the feeling that she was felt tainted by working with Andrew, and it took a lot of persuasion from Billy Piper's character to get that interview on. It took a lot of persuasion for Keely Hawes' character, the PA, to do it. And I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I felt like this is justice.
All I'd say is I think the first half of it is Amanda saying, look, he's great. He's such a people's person. That's why we need to get him in front of a camera so people can see how lovely he is. And that's what that is. I don't see that changing. I think she becomes more and more frustrated at him not doing it. And that's why she caves in to say, let's do this interview. I think throughout, she thinks it's the right thing to do. And there is no nefarious, or there's certainly no malice behind it.
I definitely think at the beginning, as you say, in the first half, she's doing her job. That's what PR do. You know, they protect their clients. Adam, what do you think?
Yeah, I also really enjoyed this. I think it was great to see, as you've already said, the roles these women had in exposing Prince Andrew, as it were. And yeah, just that moment of when he thinks it's all gone brilliantly is just superb telly. I want to give a shout out to Connor Swindles. I really enjoyed the opening of this, where he's the paparazzi trying to get the key photo of Prince Andrew with Jeffrey Epstein. And also Romola Garai, someone we haven't mentioned, who played Esme Wren, as the producer of Newsnight. And again, one of the sort of important female figures in the show. I really enjoyed it. And I think, I know the criticism has been, why make this now? What's it for? But I do think it was interesting to see how that sort of an interview could be obtained. And also, as you said, Damo, the kind of naivety and almost arrogance of the royal family and their belief that it was going to make a big difference.
I also found fascinating, like, how long, like, the process actually was. Like you say, we actually went right back to that photograph, which was a few years, right, before the interview. And the 2 years, thanks, Damo. Thanks for that little peace sign. 10 years? 12 years! 12 years. 12 years before the interview. So actually, that's when the whole process started. And I kind of didn't, I guess I wasn't aware of how much it was common knowledge about Randy Andy, Air Miles Andy, whatever you want to call him. And actually, it was only when Jeffrey Epstein was arrested that they had to then really deal with it. So it's just interesting that it kind of was a story, but no one really wanted to go anywhere near it. And then they kind of didn't have a choice. But by that point, she already had her foot in the door. So she was ahead of the curve. So I kind of liked jigsawing the timeline together and realizing that, yeah, this had been going on for, yeah, over a decade. Yeah, really fascinating stuff, I thought. And I mean, even though the interview, we all remember it vividly, it was quite fun to see it shot in a dramatic way you know, with the close-ups and the way she lifted her pen, you know, and then put it back down again. Just those little small things that we may probably didn't see or wouldn't have clocked in the real interview. In a piece of drama, they're like gold dust. So that was really fun.
I also think it was framed as Sam McAllister's story, the character that Billy Piper played. And I think, you know, obviously Prince Andrew and Rufus Sewell and Gillian Anderson are kind of the headline in a sense. But the story itself was really about her input and her approach. And she was quite an abrasive character in a lot of ways. But I really enjoyed her performance in this. I thought she was really good. And I enjoyed that arc to the story.
I completely agree about Sam McAllister. Obviously, nobody really knew about that woman and the amount of work that she did and the foresight that she had and the manipulations and calculations to get that to happen. I agree. I think in very many ways, it was her story.
Yeah, I think there's also something there about class or at least socioeconomic standing. You know, you've got Emily Maitlis, who is, I would say, middle to upper middle class. Obviously, you've got Andrew, who's the royal family. But Sam is very much a normal person, to use an outdated term, working class, if you will. And I think there's also that, because we also see a lot of her struggling within the BBC, and that she's different from all her colleagues. They're your classic Oxbridge graduate BBC team. So I also found that element of it very interesting.
Yeah, and her relationship with the kind of young black guy who worked alongside her, he would also have obviously not had well, I can't make assumptions, but maybe potentially didn't have a straightforward entrance into the BBC. People kind of fighting for their jobs, wanting to be heard. I really loved the, we can't talk about Brexit again. I remember that time vividly when it was like, tonight, we'll be talking about Brexit. Like, oh God, please give us something else.
I get what you were saying. You were trying to say, Damo, by using the word normal, but I don't think she is normal. I think she's an extraordinary woman who really got her teeth into, okay, maybe the story was fed to her a little bit, but she really took it on board. And I'm not sure I'd be able to do that.
Okay, well, normal in terms of a normal upbringing.
Grand. A ringing endorsement then for Scoop. If you haven't yet watched it, it's available on the Netflix. Grace, I know you've got a hard out. So do you want to go next with kind of what you've been watching?
Yeah. I started season two of Slow Horses, which I'm already really enjoying. I've only watched one episode, but I didn't think I could love anything more than Gary Oldman singing along to The Proclaimers. But Gary Oldman eating ramen, turns out, is even more enjoyable. I think there's going to be a running theme of Gary Oldman eating, like, apparently there's a thing about him eating kebabs this season, just really gross. So yeah, really enjoying being back in that world. The only other thing I have watched, which I know that I kind of sent round to the WhatsApp group, was something called The Assembly. This was sent to me by a couple of people, and I was like, oh, that's kind of, that maybe people are starting to talk about this or wanting to sort of chat about it with their friends and stuff. So this is on the BBC, I think it was in aid of Autism Awareness Week, I'm almost certain. But essentially, it's only half an hour, it's on the iPlayer, and Michael Sheen basically faces this sort of group interview with a group of autistic, neurodivergent and learning disabled people. And it was just a great half an hour watch. It was just really fun, really silly. It was actually like, in some ways, I do want to know what Michael Sheen's favourite food is, you know? I do. I do want to know who his favourite Doctor Who is. Spoiler alert. It was really fun. And I think, obviously, it's part of raising awareness of the kind of like broad spectrum of people's experiences with autism and those kind of like, you know, learning disabled people. And as you're watching it, you know, the more that we kind of have these shows on telly, the more you're like, God, they're so creative. They're so funny. They're so insightful. The questions were really great. There was some confidence issues sometimes, but they got over them. And I just had a really great time. And I'd been watching the news that day and feeling hyper sad about everything. And this was exactly what I needed. So if you need half an hour of feeling a little bit better about the world, I can really recommend The Assembly on the iPlayer.
Is it David Tennant?
It is, yes, David
Tennant. Yeah, I thought it might be. I really regret not making time to watch this so that I could talk to you in more detail, because it ticks so many important parts of my existence and what I feel passionate about and care about. I'm definitely going to watch it once we finish.
I did manage to watch this today, and I was already a bit tearful after watching something else that I'll talk about later. But when they got to the "Here Comes the Sun" bit, I was in floods, in absolute floods. But yeah, a really, really beautifully humbling interview of Michael Sheen, and he's such a game for it. Do you know what I mean? He was so brilliant with them all. It ends with this really, really brilliant question. The final sort of moment of it is this brilliant, brilliant question, which I just absolutely adored. And the way that he handled it was perfect. But I've got a question for you, Grace. What about Superman?
What about Superman? Exactly, Adam. Great question. And Spider-Man. And Spider-Man. Don't forget Spider-Man.
And Scooby-Doo.
Oh, man, they were so brilliant. And like you say, Michael Sheen came across really brilliantly. He was so warm and open and a big yes person. And he wasn't afraid to be... There was moments where he was a bit embarrassing, you know, he was. But everyone kind of just rolled with it. I wouldn't be surprised, given how many people have sent this to me to say, oh, have you seen this? I wouldn't be surprised if they could potentially roll this out as a small series, the BBC, with different actors coming in, because it was a really nice way to get to know Michael Sheen beyond the TV screen and the stage, and actually just... It was like they were just all having a good chat. There is one interview, the one question. I have to give a shout out to the young woman with the curly red hair. My goodness me. So brave. So brilliant. If you've seen it, you'll know what I mean. If you're about to watch it, you'll see it. She asks a fantastic question.
Yeah, immediately after I finished watching it, I was like, is this a series? Are there going to be more of these? Because I absolutely think they should. And I think it would be brilliant. I think it's a great format. Not just actors. I think they could put loads of different people, celebrities or whoever, in there. And it would be brilliant watching. Big recommendation for the Assembly.
Absolutely. I think that's basically it. I haven't watched any Maths Australia all week, guys. Am I okay? Am I feeling all right? Don't know. Maybe I'll watch them tonight. Yeah, so also I've heard people talking about Fallout, but I haven't watched it yet, and I know very little about it.
Well, Fallout is based on a video game, and essentially it's a sort of post-apocalypse. There's a really brilliant opening sequence to this where we see the nuclear apocalypse happening in this first bit, and I really enjoyed that element of it. And then we follow various different characters. We're introduced in this first episode. There's a lot of world building and a lot of introduction to characters in the first episode. But we have the Vault Dwellers, who've been living underground for 200 years. And essentially, they were the rich folk who could afford these bunkers, essentially. And there's some quite good comedy around cousin sex, which I quite enjoyed. It not being a sustainable practice, because they have all obviously been living in this vault for generations. But yeah, lots of colourful characters, and I've watched two episodes of this, and I'm very much enjoying it so far. Damien?
I just want to see clarification on something. Did you say that you enjoyed the cousin sex jokes, or that you enjoy cousin sex?
I enjoyed the jokes about cousin sex.
Apparently it's fine in your childhood, just not appropriate when you get older. That seemed to be the line.
Oh, Christ.
But if everybody that you are living with or able to access is, in effect, some sort of cousin, however far or closely related, you are going to fool around a little bit, right?
Yeah, and it is 219 years since the apocalypse, since the nuclear war. So, yeah, if you're in trapped space, obviously, a lot of people are going to be related.
So there wasn't anyone with like a third ear, or their eyes were way too close together?
Neither due to the irradiated atmosphere above or the inter-family mating that might have been happening below. Damien?
Certainly not in Vault 23.
Did you enjoy this?
Well, I have played the game, as you know. I would say 75 minutes is too long for an opening episode. I think that will stop a lot of people from giving it a try, which is a shame. I think there is some really good stuff in there, though. Lots of it that I enjoyed. I think there's enough there for those who've played the game. The Easy Boys and all that. Those have nice little Easter eggs there. It's not necessarily based on any of the games, narratively, but obviously it's the world, same world. So there's lots of overlap. So that's not an issue. Yeah, there's some really funny moments, some really good characters, some shocking twists. One big twist that I thought was quite heavily foreshadowed, but was still enjoyable nonetheless. And there's some real gruesome stuff in there too.
Yeah, if you're not a fan of blood and violence, maybe hide behind the couch whilst you watch it, 'cause it's definitely worth watching. I really enjoyed it. I've not played the game, but I really appreciated what it was saying. I mean, it's a kind of dystopian future. I think we've already made that clear. And whilst the big threat is nuclear in this narrative, in this world, and they have found a way, certainly for the rich, to get themselves through it and survive for over 200 years. I think it's a real almost metaphor for what today's nuclear threat is, which is climate change. And there's a very good chance the rich people will find their way out of it, pay their way out of it. But obviously, the people who will suffer will be those that don't have money. And that is a threat that is much more so important to us right now than nuclear.
So in the first episode, are you in the vault the whole time, or do you go outside and see what the world is like?
Yeah, so we have Ella Purnell's character, who is the vault dweller, who's looking for somebody to mate with other than her cousin, and she's brilliant. They kind of have this whole American Pie kind of girl guide sort of sweetness to them. Like, her politeness is almost her armor in a way. And she in the second episode is very much her outside of the vault, but her catchphrase is okie dokie. And I just, there's so many brilliant okie dokie moments. Like, they've chosen it really, really well. I think the moments that she drops the okie dokie, I think, are fantastic.
I'm assuming you meant apple pie, not American pie.
Sorry, I did mean apple pie.
So what happens is, I don't think this is a spoiler, the nuclear holocaust happens in the 50s. So everything still has a kind of 50s aesthetic to it, even though 200 years have moved on. So there is tech, but it's very old. Just the aesthetic is 1950s Americana.
Retro futuristic is the term for it.
Nice.
Obviously, nuclear threats became a big thing just after the Second World War, when obviously Hiroshima or Hiroshima, when that became a thing. So it's very fitting that there is a very 50s, like, a lot of the soundtrack is 50s. When we're in the future, we start to get a bit of Johnny Cash, I would say, is a bit more 60s, but it feels like there's a development also. But yeah, the soundtrack and the general visuals and cinematography and look, they're still wanting to keep hold of what they had in the 50s, 200 years later.
So if our listeners liked Silo, would they like this?
They might do.
Yeah, there's video game violence in it. That's what I would say. It's like the violence is sort of, there's a comedy to the violence almost. But yeah, I don't, and it's quirky. It's very much a quirky show. So Walton Goggins plays a character called the Ghoul, who's introduced in the first episode briefly. You do get a lot more of him in the second episode. But he's a very, very cool video game type character. That's what I'm really enjoying about it, actually, is the quirkiness of all the characters. You have these knights who are in these sort of big, bulky metal outfits. And this character called Maximus, who is initially a squire, who's the other hero figure in the show. And then in episode two, you meet CX-404, which is a dog, and Benjamin Linus from Lost, which I was very, very happy about seeing Michael Emerson on the screen again. Yeah, there's lots of really brilliant characters in it. I don't think it has the same grittiness or gritty sort of realness that Silo had, perhaps.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you know you're watching something that's based on a video game. If you're looking for naturalism, you're not going to get it from this. Everything is heightened.
Having not played the video game, I would say for me, it was like a cross, or the first episode. I've not watched the second episode, but I will do. I would say, as far as, I don't know, genre, the kind of things you might like that will make you want to watch this, would be a cross between Westworld and The Walking Dead.
Grant, what else have you chaps been watching? Neil, do you want to go next?
Just not to interrupt the flow, I'm gonna have to head off now. But before I go, I just wanted to say happy Blue Lights Day to everyone who celebrates tomorrow. And I look forward to diving into that with whoever wants to chat to me about it, because I'm very excited. So, yeah, I'll speak to you all soon.
Thanks, Grace. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hi, Grace.
Straight out.
I know. Oh, she's a woman with a mission.
She slams her laptop down, I'm sure of it. Just bang, down, done. She doesn't log out or anything like that. Bang, straight off.
So I think Blue Lights is something that I definitely need to watch. Enough of you have mentioned it. I need to catch up on series one before series two comes out, or maybe overlap that catching up. As far as what I've been watching, I have just been obsessed, ironically, with Ripley. And as far as I believe, neither of you two have finished it, but I had my first opportunity with a good friend of ours, Gabriel Thompson, to properly chat about it. And I can't encourage anyone enough to see it through. Yes, there are times where it feels slow. We said that on our last podcast, but there are some amazing moments. And I've seen the Minghella film in 99, and I knew what was, well, what he portrayed, and I can only assume that's very similar to the book. But I was just on tenterhooks throughout the whole series.
Have you watched any more demo?
No, I'm at one. And to be honest, with the way things are at the moment, it's unlikely I'm going to progress for a while at the very least.
So I'm up to episode four. I finished episode four now. The third episode, I think, is fantastic. It's a really, really brilliant episode of television. I think Andrew Scott has got resting psycho face. and I think he's brilliant. I know we talked about casting. I think he's brilliant casting for this. But there are shenanigans in that third episode involving a boat. And the boat has this personification, in a way, throughout that episode, which is the best inanimate object personification I think I've seen in a long, long time. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm hooked. I'm definitely going to finish the series. Yeah, the fourth episode goes back to that kind of slower pace, but actually I'm quite enjoying that. And it continues to be beautifully, beautifully shot. And the stairs and the hard stairs are going to continue to be themes.
Yeah, come on, Damo. I know you're a stereoholic. You have to carry on with this. When we spoke last time, I was uncertain about the casting of Andrew Scott, because in my memory, that character was Matt Damon. Like, I'd fallen in love with that film, watched it many times. And there is a real difference between how they portrayed the character. Andrew Scott's portrayal is very much a psychopath, with no empathy, no regret. And you see that from episode one. I don't think that's a spoiler. Matt Damon was more a kind of, fuck, I've got myself into trouble. How am I going to get out of it? And there was a more, I think the audience would have liked him more, as in he was portrayed as a character in that way.
I just want to write a reply about my supposed obsession with stairs. It's not a big part of my life. I'd say, if anything, it's a bit up and down with me.
Very good. Anything else you've been watching, Neil?
No, Scoop, Ripley, I finished Ripley. That really grabbed me. I watched Fallout. No, I don't think I have watched anything else of note. What about you, Damon?
So, I finished The New Look. Since we've last been together, I've watched the final episode. I thought it was great. Still recommend it. Still think Ben Mendelsohn is absolutely gorgeous in this. And I think they ran out of story for everyone else. Yes, Adam.
Yeah, that was for me. My only criticism of the show was there wasn't enough drama or story for the length of the number of episodes that it was. I think it was beautifully told in a very moving story about creation and survival. And as you say, like, really elevated by the cast that was in it.
Yeah, I'd agree. And then the only other thing I've watched is, in preparation for tomorrow, the day of recording, is I rewatched series one of Blue Lights and loved it even more than I remembered. I just think it's just a fantastically well-made show, containing a really interesting discussion about what modern policing should be like.
Yeah, I was jealous of your rewatch. And I've had so many shows on my watch. I was like, have I got time to rewatch Blue Lights before tomorrow when the new season comes out? And I basically had 6 days. And I go, right, I can watch an episode a day and get through it, the rewatch. And I do not regret it at all, because it was quite a while ago that first season came out. But it's such a good show. And I think I noticed different things in this rewatch. Like that fifth episode, I think, is one of the best crafted single episodes of TV that I've seen in quite some time. But it's only because so much has been built up in those character arcs in the four episodes before that. But yeah, the fifth episode is called The Q Word. I don't want to give too many spoilers because I know you haven't seen it, but it brings together so many of the different stories. And it starts with, you know, you've only really ever seen these characters in uniform. And the episode starts with them all out of uniform. And I can't go into the other reasons why it's so perfectly crafted without giving spoilers away. I think if you have seen it, then you will know. It's really, really great stuff, I think. The characters that you kind of initially maybe don't like, the way that it sort of twists those and kind of gives you sympathy for them or empathy for them, I think is really clever as well.
Yeah, it's a masterclass in writing and pacing, as well as great performances.
Where can people like myself who might be listening to this podcast who haven't seen it, where do we find it?
Well, if you're in the UK and Northern Ireland, you'll find it on iPlayer. I'm not sure where you'll find it outside of there. It must almost certainly be available in the Republic of Ireland. I'd say probably somewhere on RTE Player. Other than that, I don't know.
So our listeners in Laos, Australia, America, Israel, they're not going to know.
Well, I mean, you could probably get a VPN and watch it on iPlayer that way. That would be my suggestion. I mean, I know we have many, many listeners in Hanoi. I know that there's quite a few in Bucharest, also in Buenos Aires. Well, I know that they have listening parties, in fact, for these episodes in Buenos Aires, don't they? Much like when Argentina won the World Cup, it's a similar size group.
Argentina, our listens are huge. So how do they listen to the lights?
I would suggest the VPN. And in fact, actually, that's really useful because now I can talk about this episode's sponsors, NordVPN. When I'm traveling and watching things, I like to do so in safety. So make sure you smash the like button, subscribe, and use the code NordVPN/TVDNA50% off to pay 50p for 12 years. Can you tell I've also been watching a lot of YouTube?
Yeah.
We ought to do some digging into it, because the BBC World is a thing, right? I'm sure that there are. I know we've recently had a lot of listens to our Woman in the Wall episodes, and I'm convinced that's because that was released in the States fairly recently. Similarly, we're currently having a little bit of a spike in our Vigil episodes from many years ago. And Mr. Bates versus the Post Office. So I think when these things become more available internationally, we get a few more listens. It's not that interesting. But for a stats geek like me, I find it quite interesting to see what's being picked up. Anything else, though, that you've been watching, Damo?
I've got back into the YouTube channel Brickcrafts, the Lego YouTube channel that I have talked about previously on this pod. That's it.
Brand. Well, I'll dive into mine then. So I watched a few new shows. The first one I want to talk about is Baby Reindeer. I've only watched the first episode of this, but this is out on Netflix. It's about a barman / stand-up comedian who is struggling with his stand-up comedy. Maybe something you can relate to, Damo. But he means... Sorry. That was a really unnecessary burn.
I love it, though. It's funny than any of the material I've written in the last couple of weeks.
But he meets a woman who is clearly suffering from some depression and mental health issues. And I genuinely felt sorry for both of them in this show. She becomes his stalker. That's the premise of the show. It's him dealing with the fact that he's got this stalker. I really enjoyed the first episode. I'm definitely going to be watching more of this. There were moments when I was screaming at my laptop at the choices the characters made. I was like, no, can't you see where this is going to lead to? But yeah, both really, really good performers. I think Richard Gadd, who plays Donnie, and Jessica Gunning, who plays Martha, are both really strong in this. It is based on a true story. I know it was previously an Edinburgh show that Richard Gadd did, I think. But yeah, I would recommend Baby Reindeer, as I said, available on Netflix and worth a watch. I've also watched the first episode of The Regime, starring Kate Winslet. And this is, yeah... It's the story of an East European nation, and she is kind of the ruler of that nation. And it's a little bit nuts and weird. There's some nice commentary on the role of the United States when dealing with despots. But I think it just, for me, I'm not really sure what it's going for. Can you help me, Damien?
Yes, sir. I forgot. I've also watched this. And just a little corrects these Central European nation. But yes, you're right. It's a bit, I mean, she's great in it. I really enjoy her in this and some of the other characters as well. But you're right. It's kind of almost like a post-Soviet nation. I think that's fair, but it doesn't quite know what it is. I know that it got panned when it, so it was released in the States a while ago and only just recently released here in the UK. And it didn't review so well. And I can see why. Like you said, it's neither one thing nor the other.
Yeah. I'm gonna watch the next episode. I've only watched one. I'm gonna watch the next episode just to see how I feel about it after that. But a couple of shows I have continued with. One is This Town, which is the Stephen Knight Midlands drama about young people, essentially about young people forming a band, but it kind of follows three different young characters through the story. The second episode introduces Michelle Dockery as one of the parents, one of those characters. She's fantastic in this. I think it's a beautiful, lyrical, poetic, violent at times, spiritual TV show. I've just finished the third episode and I think that's really when it kicks in, actually. I think there's a lot to enjoy in the first two, but I think that third episode moves it along considerably. And it's a show you can dance to, the soundtrack to it. I was watching it whilst I was ironing and I found myself dancing along to this show. But yeah, I think that third episode really brings to light the dilemmas for these young Midlanders. It's a bit of a, yeah, it feels like a Stephen Knight passion project, but I'm enjoying it and I think it's a good watch. So if you're looking for a Midlands-based drama, then This Town might be worth watching. It's on the BBC iPlayer as well. I've also continued with A Gentleman in Moscow on Paramount Plus TV, a second episode of this. I mean, Mary Elizabeth Winstead is stunning, absolutely stunning. I don't think I appreciated whilst watching Ahsoka just how stunning she was. But there's some high-class innuendo about the breeding of dogs, plus some highly enjoyable fisticuffs in the second episode of this. But yeah, it's a comedic and moving show about friendship and class. And Ewan McGregor, I think, is brilliant as well in this. So I'm going to continue with A Gentleman in Moscow. And at the moment, that is a recommendation from me. And then two shows that I've finished. I finished Invincible. This is the animated show based on the Robert Kirkman comic book. And this second season, they released in two chunks of four episodes each. And I think it has all the relationship drama, moral questions, and extreme gore that you'd expect from the maker of The Walking Dead. I love the world building of it. There's a cast of thousands, but the animation, and I understand that animation is incredibly expensive and time consuming to do well, isn't always as good as it could be. I think there are much better animated shows. So if you're looking for quality animation, this probably isn't the show to go for. To the show's credit, though, I think it has a scene that acknowledges the fact that they have their limitations to good comedic effect. And there's also a Spider-Verse gag in it that I really enjoyed. So I think you've either got to be a big fan of either Robert Kirkman or the Invincible comic book for this to be a show that you will enjoy. But yeah, I've had a good time with it, and I'm looking forward to the third season when it comes out. And then the other one that I finished is Renegade Nell, which I was a big, big fan of, despite everybody else being a little bit meh about it when we first reviewed this. And I was entertained throughout, but I kind of see now what everyone else was saying. It didn't really... My big criticism, I guess, is that it didn't really have enough plot to fill the eight episodes. And it needed maybe a little bit more subplot, or it needed to be more of a highway robbery of the week show and to make the main plot sort of secondary to it, but build to the finale. But it felt like it was all about the main plot and it was building and building and building. And it just, yeah, it didn't quite work as well as I wanted it to. I thoroughly enjoyed my time with Nellie and with her sisters and all of the characters in it. And I think Frank Delane as Isambard Tully is great. But I just wished it was a little bit better than it was. You finished Renegade now, Neil. Is that fair? A fair kind of summary?
I think that is very fair. I really enjoyed it, and I would definitely take a punt on episode one of series two, which I'm pretty certain is going to happen. I thought Frank Delane was fantastic. He was one of the few things that I enjoyed with Fear of the Walking Dead, and I think he's great in this. I mean, he's channeling Johnny Depp as in Pirates of the Caribbean, but that's all very enjoyable. I think it's a really enjoyable watch. I wouldn't suggest anyone doesn't watch it. I definitely wouldn't say it was rubbish, but it is kind of the thing you can have on in the background, as opposed to Shogun or Ripley, where you have to literally watch the subtitles because there's lots of subtitles, because they are really committed to not having actors speak in a language they wouldn't be for the story. No, I would say it is worth a watch. It depends on your taste. Like, you know, some of us love Saturday night TV and reality TV, and that's fine. Again, it can be on in the background or can be part of, you know, kind of family time watching TV. But yeah, that's why I would say it is.
You know what popped up? I think you mentioned it when you last talked about this on the watch list, but what popped up immediately after finishing the last episode as a recommendation was The Artful Dodger. Where would you rank it? Above, below The Artful Dodger?
Okay, that's a tough question. To be honest, probably because the performances and the performers, I love The Artful Dodger. I have a history with that story in that book from different plays that I performed in. I would say The Artful Dodger is better. So if you've not watched either of them, I guess my recommendation would be The Artful Dodger. But if you enjoyed The Artful Dodger, I think you'll enjoy Renegade Nails. Very similar aesthetic.
Yeah, great stuff. I think that's all really fair. Let's move on then to the shows that are coming out this week. We've already mentioned Blue Lights already. I'll give you the synopsis of season two. And I've edited this to make sure there aren't any spoilers. But Grace, Annie and Tommy are growing up fast as police officers. Nothing can prepare them, though, for the turmoil that they face every day. Constable Shane Bradley is drafted in to help, but his motivations are unclear. As a young loyalist threatens to take over the city, the officers face a major gangland feud, culminating in a violent and devastating confrontation. And if that doesn't whet your appetite after watching season one, and I don't know what will. All of the cast are back. So Sean Brooke, Martin McCann, Catherine Devlin, Hannah McLean, and Nathan Braniff. But yeah, very exciting that this is coming out. And I think this is going to be our next show. We've already announced this is going to be our next show that we're going to do specials on.
Absolutely. I have one worry about this. I'm worried that they might try and make Annie and Tommy have a relationship. And I hope they don't.
Annie and Tommy.
Yeah, it's a worry. There's just rewatching it. I feel like there's some things that they're setting up. But I'm hoping that Grace and Stevie is our only kind of like relationship that we see within the team building. I'm worried that will be made something as well. I hope I'm wrong.
Any second season is obviously a cause for concern when you've, especially of a show that you really enjoyed the first season of, right? But, you know, let's wait. We'll see. We're going to probably cover this. We haven't talked about it yet, but probably in two episode chunks, maybe. But yeah, we will be doing specials on Blue Lights season two.
Right. And just so I can confirm, is it just one episode a week being dropped?
So all six episodes are going to be available on the BBC iPlayer tomorrow at the time of recording, which is Monday. I think it's Monday, 9 p.m. when it airs on TV if you watch at the scheduled time, but all six episodes are available at once.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't know how I'm going to handle that. Another thing I don't know how I'm going to handle is another show, which is Feud, which is Capote versus the Swan. And that's Disney Plus on the 17th of April, second in the Feud series by Ryan Murphy. Acclaimed writer Truman Capote ruins his friendships with the Swans, a socialite group of New York City high society, by writing a thinly veiled, fictionalized account of their scandalous and hedonistic lives in his ultimately unfinished novel, Answered Prayers. And it's got a great cast. It's got Naomi Watts, Diane Lane, Chloe Sevigny, Russell Tovey, Calista Flockhart. She's not done anything for a while. Neither is Molly Ringwald or Demi Moore. And obviously the ever brilliant Tom Hollander. What a cast.
It's a fantastic cast, isn't it? Aaron? That is great stuff. Yeah, I watched the trailer for this and I am quite curious. I initially, on the premise of the show, I wasn't that interested, but phenomenal cast.
I can't imagine a Truman Capote other than Philip Seymour Hoffman. So similar to Ripley, I might struggle on the first episode, but I'm sure it will be great. And I'll get over that.
What you might not get over, Neil, is Red Eye, which is on ITVX on the 21st of April, which I think is maybe Sunday. Anyway, Dr. Matthew Nolan, on his way back from a conference in Beijing, after being involved in a dangerous car crash, arrives in the UK, accused of the murder of a woman also involved in the crash. And he's then sent back to China to face charges. Does that make sense? He's in a car crash, gets on a plane from Beijing to the UK, and then when he gets back in the UK, he's got to go back on a plane back to Beijing, presumably.
Idris Elba is on either of those planes, do we know?
I don't think Idris Elba is, unfortunately. Richard Armitage is on both of those planes because he plays Dr. Matthew Nolan. It's also got Leslie Sharp and Jing Lucy in the show. But yeah, this is very much, I think, in that hijack wheelhouse of drama, mystery on a plane.
I am a fan of Leslie Sharp. I think she's done some brilliant stuff. I'm not a huge fan of Richard Armitage. I kind of hate to say that, but what I've watched of his work, both stage and screen, I feel like there's a lot more on my personal watch list that will prevent me from giving this a go, unless you two or any of the other TV DNA crew and followers say you absolutely need to watch this.
Yeah, two things. First of all, I think I'd say I'd agree mostly with Richard Armitage and what you said, although I thought he was very good in one of his first big roles as Alan Adale in Robin Hood.
Hi, everyone. Damon from the future here. Just to say, obviously, I meant he played Guy of Gisborne in BBC's Robin Hood.
He was very good in that. And the other thing, just to confirm, this has nothing to do with the 2005 film Red Eye, which starred Rachel McAdams and Cillian Murphy.
I can neither confirm nor deny, having not seen that film, but maybe it is. I think with Richard Armitage, it's a case of familiarity breeds contempt. And he's on our screen so much with all his Harlan Coben work and stuff. But yeah, I think it's an interesting premise, I think. But yeah, if you enjoyed Hijack and you like plane-based dramas, then you'll probably enjoy this. Also out this week is season 3 of Resident Alien, something I've never seen before, but does remind me of Catherine reads to Otis every night, and I can't remember the name of the book, but it's about a band, some sort of space band, basically. He's into his space stuff. And they were both had these massively shocked faces because a character in the book, this is a big spoiler for a book that I don't know the title of, a character is called Neela, and it turns out that Neela backwards is alien, and that character was an alien, and it blew their tiny minds. Anyway, Resident Alien comes to Skymax on the 17th of April, and Scottish comedy drama about a young autistic woman, Dinosaur, roars onto the BBC on the 14th of April.
Are you saying Catherine has a tiny mind?
No, I'm not at all. I'm very glad you picked up on that.
You can edit that out if you want.
She doesn't listen, it's fine. Should we move on to some news?
We're looking at the same. Well, Adam, or should I say Adam's Apple TV Plus, has released a trailer for sci-fi Dark Matter. Alternate realities, anyone? And it stars Joel Edgerton and Jennifer Connelly. And it's out on the 8th of May. Trailer is available to watch.
Yeah, Apple TV love their alternate reality sci-fi shows after Constellations. I'm kind of hopeful that this might be a little bit better than Constellations was, which is a good show, but wasn't amazing. But I like Joel Edgerton, I like Jennifer Connelly. I'm looking forward to this one, definitely. There's Doctor Who news, Neil. Chuti Gatwa has got a second companion in Andor's Virada Sethu, who will be joining in the second season.
And or what?
I don't know if it's funny anymore.
That doesn't bother me.
Yeah, any news to be quite. I'm so excited about Chuti Gatwa's basically first series. Yes, he's had his first episode with the Christmas episode, but I cannot wait for what we're going to appreciate. And I think we would appreciate it. I'm really excited and very optimistic about what's going to be done. So any piece of news, very excited.
There's also episodes written by Stephen Moffat and Kate Herron in this series. It's been announced. They've put the full list of episode titles out. My favourites are Space Babies and Empire of Death.
Well, they're both really exciting. I mean, Stephen Moffat has written some of the best episodes in Doctor Who, certainly in the kind of new era, although they are advertising Cheetah Gatwer starting another new era. But when Russell T. Davis took the helm, that was considered new Doctor Who as opposed to traditional Doctor Who. No, it all sounds really exciting. I'm really glad that Stephen Moffat is still on board and doing stuff. Cannot wait.
I am going to pick up my Doctor Who watch. I want to finish Normal People and I want to watch the first season of Wolf Hall before I go back to Doctor Who. But once I've done those things, I'm going to go back and watch some David Tennant episodes of Doctor Who.
Where does Ripley fit into that?
Ripley's on the list. So yeah, I tend to have sort of four or five shows that I'm watching, sort of my prioritized watch, and one of those will be an old show. So that's currently Normal People. But yeah, Ripley's one of the ones that I am watching more frequently than some of the others. Speaking of episode titles, there's also been episode titles for season two of The Sandman. If you know the books, I think you'll be quite excited about what is to come there. And it's been rumoured that Finn Jones, who played Iron Fist in the Netflix show, and John Bernthal, who I know is a big favourite of many of us, who played the Punisher on the Netflix series, they're both going to be joining the MCU, apparently.
Great. More MCU. I'm cock-a-hoop.
We know you're not a big fan of the MCU, Damo. I think any regular listener will know that, and certainly me and Adam. To be honest, I'm not sure how excited I am about that. I didn't watch a lot of the Punisher. I watched a bit of it, and I didn't watch any of Iron Fist. I don't know where basically Marvel Comics film wise are going. I'll definitely give it a go. There's a little bit of me that feels like the last two Avengers filmers are a bit of an end game, no pun intended.
Yeah, I think they definitely almost need a reset, and I think that's probably what they're doing. We haven't had much in a while from the MCU. Let's see. I'm kind of hopeful that they will regain some quality shows in the future. But yeah,
if we could move on the 1st of May, Disney Plus will be dropping its new show Shard Lake, which stars Arthur Hughes, Paul Kay, we've not seen his stuff for a while, Anthony Boyle, the ubiquitous Anthony Boyle, and King of the North, Sean Bean. Gets a watch for me, regardless of what it's about, if Sean Bean's in it.
I saw this news. Is Paul Kay previously known as Dennis Pennis?
Yes.
I absolutely adore him. I adored what he did as Dennis Pennis, but I also loved him in Game of Thrones. I think he's absolutely fantastic. Obviously, King of the North. It's definitely something that I'll give a go.
Yeah, I think they are both actors that elevate any show that they're in, definitely. Shard Lake, looking forward to that one coming on the 1st of May. Another favourite of the TV DNA crew is Vicky McClure. She's going to be starring in Insomnia on Paramount Plus. This has got a release date of the 23rd of May, so a little bit longer to wait. It's been adapted from Sarah Pinborough's best-selling novel, so hopefully will be a little bit better written than Vicky McClure's last outing in Trigger Point.
God.
We've also got a release date for Caught, which was the ITV. It was the Australian satirical comedy that was supposed to come out a few months ago and didn't, because they postponed it for, you know, entirely understandable political reasons. But yeah, we will finally catch Sean Penn, Matthew Fox and Tuppence Middleton on the 13th of June on the ITVX.
I don't know about you guys, but I fancy talking about some random renewals. Do you know that Monarch Legacy of Monsters is getting a second season from the monstrously loyal Adam's Apple TV Plus, with more Monsterverse spin-offs promised? I'm excited. Are you guys excited?
You didn't watch this on Apple TV Plus, did you, Damo? I didn't finish it. I started watching it and it just got a little bit too much for me. But, you know, the big movie out, right? Is it Godzilla X Kong? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Has done phenomenally well. So, you know, the franchise machine is working for them. So it's not a massive surprise, but I struggled to finish it. Maybe one day I'll go back to Monarch Legacy of Monsters, but I didn't watch all of that. I also never watched The Night Manager in 2015. Did either of you see that?
Yes. How do you mean you never watched it? It was absolutely amazing. Tom Hiddleston and Hugh Laurie were outstanding. And I can't remember the actress's name, but she played the female, I guess, protagonist, although the Night Manager, Tom Hiddleston, is the protagonist. But she went on to play Princess Diana in The Crown.
Elizabeth Debicki.
Yeah. Amazing, honestly. Watch the first series. It's stunning viewing. I can't recommend it enough. I'm really excited, particularly as it's been like 8 years since that came out. They're now going to do a second series. Tom Hiddleston, I mean, if he were to play James Bond, this would be his audition tape. And if Hugh Laurie were to play a Bond villain, this would be his audition tape. I cannot recommend it enough.
I just double-checked. It is available on the iPlayer. So BBC iPlayer, you can watch The Night Manager series one if you haven't, like me, haven't watched it yet.
And on Prime Video outside of the UK.
But yeah, the point of that question was that the second season is now coming, apparently. BBC and Prime Video have announced that Tom Hiddleston will be returning to the role and we'll be getting more of The Night Manager.
Is it coming or is it in pre-production?
The news is that it's been renewed, so possibly in pre-production. I'm not sure.
So maybe still wait.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it either. I mean, I can guess that Tom Hiddleston's character is very much the hero of the show. And talking of heroes, Tim Kring wants to reboot for the third time, is it? Heroes? I hope he doesn't, because, I mean, that second reboot was painful.
Well, the second season wasn't as good as it should have been, really, given what they did in the first season, which was fantastic TV. Heroes season one is brilliant, is incredible, really, really good watch. But yeah, it did fall off a cliff a little bit, which is such a shame. I don't know. I would go back to the well, but I would just hope that they think about it and create something that was compelling and interesting. Because I think the world that was built was good. But yeah, maybe it's been too tarnished already by those failures of the past.
I think also now, because what was that, 2007, 2008? Heroes first came out. I think it needs to do more, especially with so many, with The Boys and that since. I think it has to do more than what it did. It has to say more than what it said.
Well, particularly because we've had so many heroes since, right? So many shows about heroes or specially powered people. And in a way, Heroes did kick a lot of that off. Obviously, there was the MCU as well. But yeah, it was 2006 the original show came out. And that's the show I'd rewatch, is Heroes season one, definitely. Maybe after my eighth Lost rewatch. Anyway, let's wrap this baby up. So we're going to be back fairly soon, given that Blue Lights is out tomorrow. We're going to be back fairly soon with specials on Blue Lights. We've got one more special to go of Shogun. Our latest Shogun episode has dropped today at the time of recording. So yeah, in a couple of weeks' time, we'll finish off Shogun and then we'll deal with Blue Lights. We'll be back with a watch list at some point. I'm not sure. Blue Lights is the big show this week and obviously we're doing specials on that. So I don't know when our next watch list will be, but we'll get back to you soon with some more TV recommendations. If you want to let us know what you're watching or recommend some TV to us, you can do so on the social medias at TVDNAPod, or you can email TVDNAPod@gmail.com. Yeah, and I think that's the admin out of the way, chaps. What are you going to watch next?
For me, it's The Assembly.
I guess Shogun, because I still haven't seen the latest two episodes, which is why I wasn't on the last pod. So I will try and watch that tonight. What about you, Adam?
I think those two episodes are the best ones so far. So I think, yeah, you've got a good watch coming up with Shogun. The next thing I'm going to watch is going to be the fifth episode, Neil, of Ripley. Are we pleased today?
I can't wait to properly talk to you about it. I only got one friend who's watched the whole thing. And like, I mean, it's like therapy.
Brilliant. Well, that's us done then for another week. I hope you enjoyed this watch list. We'll be back soon. Goodbye.
Keep calm and don't lose your head.
Bye.